received particles of water carried by the spring air from the falls coming down from the icy mountain. Purport. In this verse, the word Hima Nirjhara is particularly significant. The waterfall represents a kind of liquid humor or rasa. In the body, there are different types of humor, rasa or mellow. The supreme mellow relationship is called the sexual mellow, the adirasa. When this adirasa or sex desire comes in contact with the spring air moved by Cupid, soon it is spring, or today it will be spring in Goloka Dham, it looks like, it becomes agitated. In other words, all these are representations of rupa, rasa, gandha, shabda and sparsha. The wind is sparsha or touch. The waterfall is rasa or taste. The spring air, kusumakara, is smell. All these varieties of enjoyment make life very pleasing, and thus we become captivated by material existence. The spiritual philosophy of our tradition speaks of rasa or mellow and the arousal or the emergence of rasa and mellow. We speak, for instance, of the bhakti rasa, which is supposed to appear in a devotee's heart. It is a taste of a mellow of devotion, which becomes a very distinct and clear experience for the Vaishnav. It is a necessary experience in one's Krishna consciousness to feel this rasa. And here in this verse, typical to the to our tradition, an analogy for the appearance of rasa is given. It always requires an udipan, that is a stimuli, and a basis, which are both components of one aspect of rasa. I have not the time to go now into this very complex philosophy, but I will just give you the simple analogy so that you, of this text. It is said that the adirasa is pervading every cell of our existence, and if there is adirasa is of course the sexual mellow, and that it is arisen when there is a certain udipan or stimuli. When this adiras or sex desire comes in contact with the spring air moved by Cupid, it becomes agitated. This is the case of the world. In Krishna consciousness, this understanding that there is something within us and it can be arisen is used in a systematic, you could say, sadhana, by which the originally present and all-pervading Krishna consciousness in the heart of a conditioned soul is arisen. I think this is a subject matter which you are very much familiar with, which we have discussed in many lectures. Now, I would now like to ask a question. First of all, what is bhakti? What is the bhakti ras? And the second question I will pose today is, how is it, what is the main subject which brings it to emergence? I will discuss this question from the Bhakti Sandavas of Jiva Goswami from this perspective. And as you will hear this, you will find, you will be able to relate it to what you have heard before in reading our philosophy. Jiva Goswami asks a question. Is bhakti dependent on sattva-gun? And he answers the question with saying, no, bhakti is something not born from this world. Bhakti is something transcendental. Now, to prove his point, he quotes a verse from the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, which is in relationship to Vritasura. Vritasura was a demon. He was in the modes of Tama and Rajas. But towards the end, he gave two prayers which are indicative of spontaneous bhakti or raga bhakti. I think you will recognize these verses. I will tell them in English. One is, he says, when, O when, my Lord, will I again be counted as the servants of your servant? He aspires for his original service in his constitutional position. And the second verse says, it gives an increasing degree of raga or attachment to the Lord. It says like this, when will I yearn for you like a bird in the nest yearns for his baby, for his mother bird, like a calf yearns for his mother cow, and like a wife who has been for so long separated from her husband when he was in the distance traveling, is yearning for her husband and ornaments herself. These are increasing forms of attachments to the Lord. In the bird example, the bird stays in the nest. It does move forward to the mother, the object of his attachment. And also the attachment of the little bird to the mother is highly purpose-oriented. It wants food, and that's why it's interested in the mother. In the second example, there is a movement towards the object of love. The calf, as you know, can't be held by it, by ties. It runs to the mother. It's still purpose-oriented. But in the third example, the wife who rushes to meet her husband, it is service-oriented. She wants to serve her husband by decorating herself nicely and giving him pleasure in many ways. Ultimately, in the Adi Rasa way, it's an indication towards that type of confidential relationship towards the Lord. Yes. So Vritasura was not in the modes of Tama or Rajas. He was Vritasura was not in the mode of Sattva. I'm sorry. He was, if he was in any modes, in Tamas and Rajas, Jiva Goswami says. But still there was bhakti. So bhakti is not dependent on sattva. Now the question comes on, what is bhakti dependent? It's a long argument which Shiva Goswami gives, and because we have to watch the time, I will bring it to one essential point, which I think is highly educative and inspiring for us this morning. Bhakti, he says, is dependent on the motive. On the motive of pleasing my Lord. An activity is called bhakti when before you do the activity, you have fixed in your consciousness the motive that this is for Krishna. If you think of this after you have performed the activities, or if you don't think of it while you, at all, which is the case for at least myself very often, your activity is not bhakti. The motive to please is very much required. The spirit, the behind it, a loving devotional spirit, says Srila Prabhupada, that makes an activity bhakti. The bhakti, there are activities which can be done mindlessly in devotional service. They perform an agyata sukriti, but in themselves, they are not what we refer as bhakti. I believe this point should not be, it's a little thought-provoking if you hear it so clear and so blunt, but if you go to Rupa Goswami's definition of bhakti, you will very easily recognize this point in his word anushilanam in his Paribhasita Sutra, to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anyabilashita Shunyam Jnana Kamadya Navritam. You are all very learned devotees. You have it's compulsory in ISKCON education to sit on this verse and understand it. But here, and you have heard this many times, so I will not repeat what you know already. But I would like to draw your kind attention to this particular point, the motive. Since we are sitting here in an exalted assembly, in a leadership assembly, I would like to bring this to your topmost attention and bring two more points, and then we will end this class. From where do we get this motive or this bhakti impulse? Jiva Goswami, in his need, no need is not, in his urge to explain that bhakti is not an emotion or a rasa of this world, but it is transcendental, says that this bhakti, this impulse for bhakti, must be gotten from a bhakta who has this bhakti. With bhakta, I do not mean the new a guy who doesn't know anything and comes in the door. I mean a great devotee of Lord Krishna. And to prove how this is a purely transcendental exchange which has nothing to do with your mind and mind filters and so on and so forth, he brings an example to our attention, which is used by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's a very amusing example. Amusing is maybe not the word. A mind-striking example. It's the example of a man who doesn't know how he got bhakti, who all of a sudden one day is in a state where he feels a lot of devotion towards the Lord, cries, is unable to concentrate on his household and so on and so forth. And he asked himself the question, what happened to me? How did I come into this state of consciousness? You know, it's almost like when we feel very much changed and we think of what happened to me, you know, or we see another devotee being very fat all of a sudden and depressed. And we ask, Prabhu, what happened to you? You know, we are interested in the causes. So this person is hearing, is very moved with divine bhakti rasa. And he asked himself, I didn't used to be like this. What happened to me? What is the cause? And then he answered him this question. It must have come that one morning when I saw a sadhu walking past my open door, and he was singing, O Krishna, Ha Krishna, Ha Govinda. You know, he was chanting and dancing, Kiyo. O Kiyo, good morning. You are in a lecture at the moment. Some orientation is required for the young men. This must have been the cause. He analyzes like this. Very often we have heard this in Madhuya, reading Madhuya Kadambani and so on and so forth, that this touch with the heart of a devotee is important to obtain this bhakti. And I would try to say today, this ongoing touch with the heart of Srila Prabhupada is important. And this morning we had, and this is the cause of our being offensive to all of you and letting you wait, we had a very important oriental discussion with Burijan Prabhu and the organizers of the Govardhan retreat, retreat which is supplying Krishna conscious information and hopefully transformation to the devotees who attend this. We were in this retreat, we are working with another, we are inviting another devotee, a great devotee of Lord Krishna, to touch the heart of the those who come and instill in them the bhakti ras. This devotee is Giriraj Govardhan. In Raghunath Das Goswami's Mana Shiksha, he says it's rare to come. The implied idea is it's rare to find a devotee who has this type of bhakti which is electrifying our heart. I believe we all want to meet such a devotee, and we in our ISKCON society we have agreed unifiedly that we have such a devotee in Srila Prabhupada, and we want the devotees and our own selves to connect with Srila Prabhupada through many ways, which through the Vani bridge, you could say. This point is almost the subject in every second ISKCON lecture, and I will not repeat it here. You are very much familiar with it. Giriraj Govardhan is a devotee whom Raghunath Das Goswami highlights as that special devotee who is full of love for Krishna and who should be approached with this, who can give this bhakti. In the morning, we approach Tulasi Devi. This is a very common Gaudiya practice, to approach Tulasi Devi. Nayane Hiribo Sada. Nayane Hiribo Yugala. Oh, Yugala Ruparasi. Highest Gaudiya concept is expressed in this line. We are praying. Well, we may be asleep, but still we are saying these words. I want Nayane eyes to see whom Yugala Ruparasi. Oh, This is very high concept. So these are pure bhaktas who are instilling this in the heart. And I would like to draw your attention in this brief lecture to this fact. Bring rasa into your life. Connect with the devotees who have the bhakti rasa in their hearts. This should be a conscious practice. It should be a conscious attempt. It should be a conscious desire, because I want to say it in the words of Devamrita Maharaj. Our heart, he said, is like a dry, is a dry piece which needs some moisturing, something of interest, something which builds it up, something of the rasa of taste. And if we don't get this from the in the bhakti line or from bhakti sources, we will be forced to look for it elsewhere. We will be forced. So it's important to know where to get the bhakti rasa for us. And if you are interested to hear more about this subject, I want to now solidly invite all of you to come to the Radhadish convention this year. There will be interesting subject matters presented by Ravinda Swaruprabhu, from sex to text, something very provocative. Hare Krishna, I think he will... I'm very inquisitive. I want to find out what he wants us to express. Purnachanda Prabhu will lean out a little bit into out of the philosophical window and bring thought-provoking things. And your late-coming Swami will try to speak on the subject matter of... from material rasa to spiritual rasa. It is a new concept. Some of you know I'm working on this subject since 1 year, collecting so much material from Prabhupada's books. This is another one I was not aware of, this part. And so please come and join us. It's a very nice convention. I'm duty bound to make some advertisement in it. It's very good. Please, all of you come. We need you, all the leaders. We need you to come and give us, because the more we have devotees of this caliber, who are very active in preaching, we can churn out ideas and bring out ideas and give the movement some much desired impulse. With your permission, I will end here. I'm once again want to excuse myself. This is impossible. This should never happen again. I know, and it will not happen again. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Sisi Gaunitai ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.